Thanks, Nathan. You're listening to The Checkup on Marilyn Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Monday was a typical busy day at Baltimore Medical System's Highlandtown Clinic. Patients of all ethnicities sat in rows waiting to be called. Kids played with colorful toys. And inside, Yvette Campo was helping people sign up for insurance.
¿Es aquí su dirección?
Sí.
That's Yvette helping Alejandro Garibe. Is this your address? Garibe says yes. Garibe is 33 years old, originally from Mexico. She's one of 470,000 Marylanders of Latino origin, and she needs insurance. Next Monday is the last day to sign up for coverage in Maryland until this fall. Joining me now to talk about how the Affordable Care Act is affecting Latinos is Patricia Bora Brown. She's Director of Multicultural Programs and Maternal and Child Health for Baltimore Medical System, which runs that clinic in Highlandtown. Thanks so much for being here.
Good morning, Sheila. It's good to be here.
Now, I understand almost one-fifth of your patient population is Latino. How many of them have signed up for insurance under the Affordable Care Act?
I don't think we have a complete count. We haven't been breaking down exactly by ethnicity as we've been reporting to the state. We've more been concentrating on who is signing up for Medicaid, who is signing up for the private insurance plans. However, I can tell you that our two Spanish-speaking navigators and our two Spanish-speaking assisters have been extremely busy for the last month, and to the point where there are significant numbers of people waiting for assistance.
A change from earlier, since the exchanges opened in October?
I believe the beginning was very slow, in part because for Latino families, a number of the initial publications that came out in all kinds of media were indicating that the coverage was for citizens. So upon hearing that, many families who are lawfully present may have work visas, may be here on temporary protected status, may have applied for asylum, did not believe they were going to get coverage, and so sort of adopted a, well, wait and see. And of course, the undocumented do not qualify for any kind of coverage under the exchange. So it was slow getting word out to people that those who are lawfully present
even
are welcome to apply.
Citizens.
Even if they are not citizens. If they are lawfully present in the United States, such as people who have temporary protected status to be in the United States because of some situation in their country that the United States has granted them permission to be here and work. People who've come here specifically to work, people on student visas, can seek coverage. So that it was really far more widespread. And actually, if any of your listeners would like more information on that, the federal website, www.healthcare.gov, does have several pages dedicated to what immigrant families should know that are quite clear and very helpful to let people know if they should come forward and apply.
Okay, we will put that link on our website, the particular pages that apply to what immigrant families should know. The state has also created Spanish language ads for the exchange, the Maryland Health Connection.
Hay que tenerla, conseguirla, conveniencia toda, and MarylandHealthConnection.gov.
Is this advertising reaching its target audience?
I do hear people say that they are hearing ads on the radio. I think that has played a role, but I do think within our immigrant communities, word of mouth and personal contact still plays a huge role in convincing people that this is something that is important. And I think it's very obvious that the word has come out on the streets that there is an upcoming deadline, and now people are really kind of flocking in to see, you know, should I do this before March 31st?
And obviously you, what's in your field of vision, what you're focusing on is a lot of people who come and seek help from an assister. What about the MarylandHealthConnection.gov Spanish language website? Do you have a sense of how well that's working?
According to my staff, it is working well. Part of the difficulty in the community is that many people do not have computer access, mm-hmm. or they may not feel computer savvy while they may communicate via email with family members back home or participate in Facebook. They're really not accustomed to doing that kind of application online that would require them to enter a lot of data. So I think a lot of people simply feel better if an assister is doing it.
Mm-hmm. This is The Checkup on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Patricia Bohr-Brown, Director of Multicultural Programs for Baltimore Medical System, which runs six health centers in the Baltimore area, when we're talking about how Latinos in Maryland are being affected by the Affordable Care Act. As you mentioned, the Affordable Care Act does not offer benefits to people who are in the U.S. illegally. And you talked about how the clarification of a broader reach has sort of sunk into the community that you serve. But does it come as a surprise to some people that people who are not here legally have no access under the Affordable Care Act?
I think there was a lot of confusion initially, since a lot of the understanding that people were getting up the Affordable Care Act is, oh, everyone's going to have health insurance. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, when they realized that there were definitions of classes of people who qualified, then I think the immediate concern was, well, what is our alternative for health care? Unfortunately, the community health centers, the federally qualified health centers, and some hospital-based programs have always served as safety nets and will need to continue to do so to provide care for those who do not have any type of insurance coverage.
So, for example, your clinics, which have served uninsured,
yes,
will continue to serve uninsured.
Still on sliding fee scale. That's correct.
And what about the situation in many families where some are citizens and some are not? Children may be citizens, perhaps parents not. Is that confusing?
It is confusing somewhat to them. However, if they are able to get assistance in signing up, there are many families who do have, some family members may qualify for Medicaid because of citizenship status. Others may be able to buy into the exchange because they are lawfully here but not citizens or legal permanent residents with 5 years here in order to qualify for Medicaid. So there are families of mixed status who are able to avail themselves of the act.
How I want to get back into sort of the cultural differences. I mean, it's not just that so many of the people that you are serving are new to the website. We're all new to the website, but the whole health system may not be what they're used to. I mean,
well, exactly.
now that they're insured, how is that going to work?
I think there is going to have to be an entire educational process to teach people how to use their insurance benefits. Some of the measures regarding preventative exams and really being very proactive about your health are excellent, but if people don't avail themselves of that, and we've always seen this within the Medicaid-covered population, people using the emergency room as opposed to following a primary care physician, having their exams on time. So I think there is a need for a lot of education, letting people know. And I think the health plans do have that obligation to educate their members to know when they qualify for exams, when they should go to see them, where they can receive help.
The insurers
should be
doing this. Do you see it happening?
I think we're still in the very first stages. I know certainly the Medicaid managed care organizations here in Maryland have been very active in trying to educate their members. So I think there is precedent for the insurers to look at. How do we educate our members? How do we best reach them?
One of the articles I read said that only about 5% of doctors in Maryland are of Hispanic origin. Of course, 8% of the population is. Will there be issues, do you think, getting culturally competent providers?
I think that's always an issue. I think the state legislature has certainly looked at encouraging medical schools to provide programs in cultural competency. I think there has been a movement throughout the state, to educate providers on the need to provide culturally and linguistically appropriate services. For instance, we have on-site interpreters in a number of different languages responding to the needs of our population, and they are all trained and qualified interpreters. So just recognizing that good communication is really a factor in patient safety and providing good health care.
We are almost out of time, and I gather this is a busy week in terms of signups. You're seeing
Absolutely.
A lot of people who,
yes.
who know that Monday is the deadline to sign up. So what are you advising? I mean, are you on overload, and what are you telling people who want to sign up?
We're somewhat on overload. What we are doing is trying to make people aware of all the sites in the community that are capable of helping people. This week, we're dedicating staff extra hours to follow them. Perhaps people who would have been dedicated to a different project for a certain portion of the week, they're strictly on the Affordable Care Act activities this week.
I appreciate you talking to us, taking time out in such a busy week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Patricia Borer Brown, she's Director of Multicultural Programs, Maternal and Child Health for Baltimore Medical System, which runs 6 health centers in the Baltimore area. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/the checkup. And thanks to WYPR's Brett Jaspers for his reporting help with this segment. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead, the continuing imprint of the Calverts on the Free State. Stay with us on Maryland Morning.